independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
He needs at least 50 votes. This would mean that there are four senators of the 52 unwilling to support the bill. So essentially, at this point, this bill is dead.
Whap! Whap!
Healthcare dead! Niedermeyer dead! That's from Animal House. It's over, guys. It's over. Chad, why are you laughing? Did you think it was going to get done? Told you last week wasn't going to get done. Mitch McConnell is the master when it comes to getting stuff done in the Senate, but there's only so much he could do, right? Like, his magic, he's not Harry Potter, which, by the way, I have a great Harry Potter story to talk about, and you're going to, I will talk about it later, but it's a funny Harry Potter story about grown-ass people doing Harry Potter stuff. But there's only so much he can do, right? There is. You know, we can make fun of the turtle all day. Well, we tried everything we possibly could to get this thing done. It's just too hard. There's only so much he can do. He wasn't going to please everybody. And you don't. That's politics. You don't please everybody. But now, what do you do? What do you do? Trump, what do we do?
Let Obamacare fail, and then everybody's going to have to come together and fix it. And come up with a new plan, and a plan that's really good for the people with much lower premiums, much lower costs.
Yeah, I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. So you want us to let Obamacare fail, and then what happens? What are the Democrats going to do?
I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it. We'll let Obamacare fail, and then the Democrats are going to come to us, and they're going to say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Or how do we come up with a new plan?
So how do we fix it? How do we repair it? What do we do? We're not quite sure. And I love the way he started out. I'm not going to own it. And I don't think he should. I don't think he should. This is a Republican thing. This is a senator thing. This is a Congress thing. And if you've looked at Congress, 164 years, this is the worst, most unproductive Congress in 164 years. That's going back a ways. That's horse and buggy days. But I will tell you that I like the fact he said, I'm not going to own it. Not going to own it, because this is a them thing. I ran on a lot of stuff that happened to be a small thing, but mine was about jobs. It was about immigration. It was about jobs. It was about taxes. It was about jobs. It was about building a wall. That's what a lot of mine was. And every once I'd say, repeal, replace, it's destroying us, and you'd move on. But healthcare is big. It's 1/6 of our economy. Big. Everybody in some way, shape, or form has to deal with healthcare, and it is an absolute pain in the ass. It's big. It really, really is big. But I can't lay this at the feet of Trump. I can't. There's a lot of things I can look at Trump right now and say, that's what I feel right now. But this is not one of them.
There's some other things going on right now as we speak. But I am disappointed because for so many years I've been hearing repeal and replace. I'm sitting in the Oval Office, pen in hand, waiting to sign something.
And you're not going to be signing anything soon when it comes to health care. Other stuff, hopefully. And will there be a plausible deniability of being able to get anything done because of the Russia thing hanging over our heads? We tried. I couldn't get anything done. This thing was so huge, and it was just weighing down D.C., which it does. We heard last week, right? Ted Cruz saying, it's Russia, Russia, Russia. When I'm in the Beltway, when I'm home, nobody asks a question. YouGov poll came out. Democrats, independents, Republicans. You know what's not at the top of anybody's list of things they're worried about? Russia. Zero. People don't care. People don't care. They don't. They care about themselves. When I say, you know, what's the old saying? You know, the world doesn't revolve around it. Yes, it does. The world revolves around you. And by that, I mean your world. Not my world, your world. I don't live in your world. You don't live in my world. So your world revolves around you. Your bills, your kids, your mortgage, your life, your career, your business, your health. It revolves around you. Frustrating. Absolutely. I didn't expect them to get it done. I expected what happened to happen, and it's happened. There's not a lot else we can say, not at this moment in time. Mitch McConnell is going to have to do all he can to do this.
This task would not be easy. We understood it would not come quickly, but we knew that it was the right thing to do, so we pushed forward. I believe we must continue to push forward now.
That's all you can do. You can continue to move forward. But one thing that people are forgetting, right? You work, you bust your ass, you've got a good plan, maybe your employer provides it, you pay out of your teeth, you look around and you think to yourself, you know, why can't other people do it? Why can't other people do it? Why is it so expensive? Why I got to pay so much? Why? And the frustration's there. And I talk to a lot of people that are very frustrated. I really, really do. But we have made this now an entitlement for a group of people, a large group of people. And a lot of them pay their own way. But they're sick. They couldn't get plans outside. They didn't have an employer plan. Maybe they were a small business. Nobody was going to insure them. And there are a lot of people out there that have just made it an entitlement. And it's so hard to take an entitlement away from people. You can't do it. See, anything the government has handed to people, try to take SNAP away. Try to take Social Security away. Try to take any of these things that have come into people's lives from the government. It's not possible. The singular thing that they wanted to do when they passed this had nothing to do with health care. It had to do with the law, and it had to do with government finally solidifying themselves deep inside our health care system, knowing full well that it was unsustainable, and at some point and at some time, it was going to give way under the giant, massive curse that it has created as far as debt, and it's going to collapse on itself, and in doing so, they're going to run into the rescue, and we're going to be told we're going to have a single-payer, two-tier system, and this is what it's going to look like. And if you want to see the difference between rich and poor, the gap of so many people, the inequity here, and if you want to see what that really looks like, wait till you get involved in the healthcare world and the government gets deeply involved. The best doctors, the best hospitals, the best of the best, will go to the upper middle class because they'll afford it and they'll figure out a way, as in every society, of how to get themselves serviced in such a way. And everybody else will be left with the scraps. And unless they get in front of this, it is going to be ugly. And the costs are going to continue to rise because none of the stuff that McConnell, a lot of these people talked about and tried to get through, dealt with cost and how to drive it down, how to slow it down, how to make it more competitive, and how to get regulations out of so much stuff that's already being regular and then over-regulated. How do we do that? None of that stuff was being addressed. We weren't getting any closer to having a healthcare system where we're closer to our provider. What we were finding is there was going to be more regulations, more rules, more BS, more bailouts for people. This was going to fail just like Obamacare's failing. That's it. There's the truth. Therein lies the truth. Now, what do we do? Who do we blame? Because the blame game's going to start. The blame game's going to start. People are going to say it's time to repeal. Just on its own, we'll just repeal it. That's it. That's what we'll do. Repeal it. And it's so-and-so's fault. It's Susan Collins' fault. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. It's Ted Cruz. And everybody's going to start pointing fingers at everybody. Stop it. Don't bring me problems. Bring me solutions. And you haven't done it. You haven't done it. Russia, don't care. There you go. That's my Russia story for the day. Breaking news, I don't care. Another person supposedly in the room. Now we're up to 8 people. I'm looking at my bucket. It's pretty empty of my caring about Russia. You know, I don't care how much CNN and everybody else talks about it. I can't do it because I just don't care. Well, you don't care? What should I care? Tell me. I would love somebody to go tell me what I'm caring about. That's what I want to know. What am I caring about? That's it. That people, like, if the Russian government colluded in a, just got in there and colluded the hell out of it, and we find out, you know what, then I'll care at that point in time. But meeting with people, I don't care. I just don't. And I don't care about the conspiracy theories that the Democrats set it up, and I don't care about the, that did you see what Hillary did, and did you see what, none of that stuff matters. It really doesn't. In the overall scheme of things, no matter how you want to slice it, it doesn't affect your life at all. It really doesn't. The economy. You know, I was talking with my uncle today about the economy. And he's like, well, it's booming. I said, it's not really booming like you think it is. People want to feel like the economy is going to boom because they look around and they feel like things are getting a little bit better, that some of the shackles starting to come off. And then you have this floundering here of Obamacare. And what is that going to do to the economy at this point in time? Well, the stock market's up. I see people cheer that. Yeah, well, if you've got a 401k, you got a smile on your face. Most people don't trade stocks. Maybe they've got a 401k, maybe. They've got a pension plan that's trading in that. They maybe have something. But a good portion of people out there don't trade individual stocks. They don't own anything. So they're not feeling that. They look and say, oh my God, it's over 21,000. That's great. Why? You're not getting any of that. Oh yeah. That's so much to care about. But Russia ain't a one of them. I'm just letting you guys know. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Joining us later on, bottom of the hour, Michelle Malkin, formerly of Fox, and now it's, I think she's at CCTV or CRTV. We're going to talk about an issue that took place in a trial of a serial rapist cop, as they call him, Daniel Holtzclaw, in Oklahoma City, and how more and more of the evidence came out. It looked more and more like he didn't do anything, yet he was convicted. And it's just in a bizarre situation. We're going to touch base with her at the bottom of the hour. What's next is next. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next for sports? Not only in America, but the world. Millennials are changing everything. We've touched on that. But what's next for sports, I think, is going to be eye-opening, because we had a great article over the weekend that many big sports owners, Bob Kraft and Mark Cuban and a lot of these guys who are forward-thinking sports owners who are on the cutting edge of the world of sports. When Bob Kraft runs the Patriots, I think it's safe to say they're the best-run franchise in maybe all of sports. You know, Mark Cuban does it top first class with the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, you look at what's going on with the Cubs and everywhere else. And even Magic Johnson and his group that owns the Dodgers, they're looking at alternatives. Not because they believe their sport is going away, but they also realize that there's another player in the world. And what's next for sports is esports. It's going to be huge. It's going to be massive. If you look at the numbers that the NFL does, and all these, you know, these, you know, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, when you look at the numbers that they do, they're huge. But when you go online, you look at the numbers that esports does. It's otherworldly. They're selling out arenas like the Staples Center and Madison Square Garden to play video games, and people come and watch and they cheer on their favorite teams, and their teams are growing, their followers are growing, and the money is growing. Sports is going to get a facelift in a lot of ways over the next couple of years because of what's going on with CTE and people looking for an alternative. In fact, you know, I think Malcolm Gladwell is going to call it the ghettoization of football, because they believe that, you know, upper, you know, middle class suburban white kids, their parents are going to say no to their kids playing football. I've raised my hand because my kid, I said, is not playing football because the opportunity's there to do other things. But even take away that, basketball, soccer, you know, a lot of other stuff. Guess what? This is it. Esports is going to be huge. And when people say what's next in the world of sports and entertainment, it's going to be fused, and it's going to be esports is what's next. That's how big this is going to be. It's going to be huge. That's what's next. So, you take trips. Of course you do. That's what we do this time of year. We go on little trips here and we go on little trips there, and sometimes we go on big trips to grandma's house. What's the thing that can ruin a trip? Car breaking down. I drove a lot this weekend, over 1,100 plus miles. Guess what I didn't worry about? My car dying, something going wrong. Because you see, I got extended vehicle service protection from CarShield. It protects my car. It gives me peace of mind. Something goes wrong, they're with me 24/7. That's the roadside assistance they provide me. Guess what? They'll make sure I have a rental car while my car's in the shop, and I pick the shop I want Betty to go to. That's what I call my car. How amazing is that? I think it's incredible. Peace of mind. Cost of an engine, $5,000. Fuel pump can be $500. Heck, if you need air conditioning, we all need air conditioning with this heat wave going across the country. Let me tell you something. If it's not your Freon, it's an air conditioner. That can cost $1,500. Do it right. Get extended vehicle service protection for like I did from CarShield before it's too late. It's simple, it's easy, and you will not regret it. Call 800-CAR-6100. 800-CAR-6100. Or go to carshield.com, use my code Benson, save yourself 10%. That's carshield.com, my code Benson saves you 10%, or you can call 800-CAR-6100, use my code Benson, it saves you 10%. You will be happy you did. A deductible may apply. Michelle Malkin's going to join us next. She's on CRTV, she's formerly of Fox. She has a very interesting take on a case that's going on or went on in Oklahoma City and the conviction of a peace officer for rape, sexual battery, many other things, and how he was railroaded, as far as she's concerned. We'll discuss that. Michelle Malkin joins us next. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Life can be strange. It definitely can be. And the law can be even stranger. Joining us now is Michelle Malkin. Talk about the Daniel Holtzclaw conviction. Here's a peace officer that gets, some 200 plus years, Michelle, for crimes that... I guess in a lot of ways look like flimsy evidence in Oklahoma City. And the next thing you know, you start investigating it and you find that this there's not everything here that meets the eyeball test.
That's exactly right, Chad. And it really is the gravest miscarriage of justice that I have covered in 25 years. It is so surreal. It's Orwell and Alice in Wonderland and Kafka all rolled up into one. And I think the biggest question that people ask me after a year of investigating this is, how could this have happened? It would be neat and pat and simple to chalk it up to some sort of grand conspiracy, but I think in the end there were a perfect storm of factors, political, social, cultural, legal, and scientific, that all got mixed up together. I'm not going to say that it's a conspiracy. I think that my bottom line is my conclusion after looking at all the evidence and interviewing people on all sides of this story is that Daniel was railroaded, and the public has been left in the dark about how he is a completely innocent man who was the victim of a gross confirmation bias on the part of incompetent police detectives. There was a presumption of guilt. The burden of proof was completely turned on its head. There was a massive amount of flawed forensic science, and there were politicized decisions made by the district attorney's office in Oklahoma County and many other operators and public officials in this entire drama who appear to have put the goal of reducing racial unrest ahead of seeking the truth and justice in his case.
So for those listening out there, give us a quick snapshot of what took place with Daniel, who was an officer of the law at the time, and then all of a sudden he is known as the serial rapist.
Yes. I think that your listeners may be familiar with a very viral moment in his trial when the verdict was announced in December 2015. And he was so shocked and unprepared for the guilty verdicts that were handed down because I believe he had an almost naive faith that justice would prevail in this case, that people would be rational, that they would look at all of the facts that were presented to him and see that these 13 accusers that were procured, and I don't say that word lightly, Chad, procured by police detectives who went on what seems to me to be a witch hunt to find a guilty culprit in all of this. That Daniel thought that that people would be able to see through the smoke screens, and they didn't. And so he couldn't hold it in any longer. I think that he tried to hold his head high throughout the circus mob atmosphere that prevailed. His trial took place, and the original drama unfolded during the summer of Ferguson. And I think you and all of your listeners will recall all of the racial tension and strife. Cities that were set on fire, an extreme amount of anti-police bias, incitement to violence that had taken hold of the nation in the last year and months of the Obama administration. And it was in that context that that the charges were leveled against him and that a complete media feeding frenzy took place before all of the facts were known. So he was convicted on 18 of 36 charges. The way that it has been explained to me by people on both sides of this story is that the jury just, quote-unquote, split the baby, which is not how the search for justice is supposed to happen. And of the 13 accusers that were procured by the sex crime detectives, the jury believed 8 of them. And these included women who could not pick out Daniel from a lineup, at least 2 of whom testified while high on various hard drugs on the stand, and several of whom described him as a, quote, short, black, or dark-skinned man when Daniel is a half-Japanese, tall, pale police officer. And again, the question arises, well, how could this have happened? And it all hinged on one piece of indirect evidence. Of all of these accusers, there wasn't a single corroborating witness in all of these supposed acts of sexual assault that occurred while he was on patrol solo in the worst neighborhood in Oklahoma City, the Northeast Sector. And there wasn't a single piece of direct forensic evidence. All there was a minuscule amount of skin cell DNA that was detected on Daniel's pants. And, of course, that looks very incriminating and horrible. But the big lesson out of this case and many other cases that we're seeing where accused people are completely exonerated after the DNA junk science is debunked is that people don't understand that DNA does not mean a crime has occurred. And, in fact, there are secondary and tertiary transfers of skin cell DNA that happen, you know, hundreds if not thousands of times a day. Each one of us sheds upwards of 400,000 skin cells a day, and it was skin cell DNA that was found that was tied to one of the accusers whom Daniel had to search after she was stopped on the streets a couple of times on the night of June 18th, 2014. And this woman's mother, young woman's mother, had called into the police to report her for domestic violence. It wasn't until after another accuser had come forward and highly publicized her charges and got a lot of public attention for it that this woman came forward months and months later, after all the stories had been out, after Daniel's name and face had been widely publicized across Oklahoma and the nation, that she concocted this story that she had been sexually assaulted. And what has not been told, and until my two-part documentary series for CRTV came out last December, was that it wasn't just this accuser's DNA that was found on Daniel's pants, but an unknown male DNA's, male's DNA, when nobody had ever, ever asserted that Daniel had done anything untoward with any male, as well as multiple unknown, unidentified contributors, all bolstering the theory that this was innocent touch or transfer DNA and nothing incriminating.
Talking to Michelle Malkin, you can catch her at CRTV.com. And, you know, Michelle, as we look at this, and I broke it down, I've been reading a lot about it. I've, you know, obviously you're more into it than I have. But you got Daniel Holtzclaw here, who's gone to jail for 263 years. And the DNA, the 13 witnesses of which, you know, several had been, you know, are felons. And they said, this is it. The prosecution looked for people like this because he knew that they were the lower rung of society as far as being able to go out there and tell the truth and getting any kind of justice. And he preyed upon these kind of people. And yet you sit there and you think, well, you know, isn't the whole point of forensic and DNA is to exonerate that? And you heard all kinds and you read all kinds of testimony of how they couldn't find DNA in any of the places that you would think rape or any of that stuff would take place. And yet they just seem to ignore that kind of evidence.
They did. And this is what happens when you have confirmation bias driven investigations where the sole goal is to win at all costs and prosecute someone rather than let the evidence lead you to the truth. And so much of the exculpatory evidence in this case was left out of police reports. For example, there was an accuser, Collar Lanes, who I listened to the interrogation of her by the sex crime detective Rocky Gregory. 7 times she denied that she had been the victim of any inappropriate police conduct until Detective Gregory informed her about the Holtzclaw investigation, essentially priming the pump, and then she changed her story to claim that he had forced her to expose her breasts. That is all on tape. This information is not available to the public, and it was not put in the police report. It makes you wonder how much else was omitted, and it's these sins of omission that added up to the nightmare that we've seen in Daniel's case. When you look at the facts, and I've gone through the transcripts, as I said, I interviewed people on all sides of this case, including the two lead detectives, what you see is a mountain of reasonable doubt. And there's so much of what these detectives did and ignored in their own interrogation that is eye-opening. And I am hearing from experts, former law enforcement officials, people who have run sex crimes units and other specialty units, who know how competent investigations are supposed to be conducted. And what happened in Oklahoma City was the opposite of competence.
Talking to CRTV's Michelle Malkin. Looking forward here, so Daniel Holtzclaw has been sentenced to 260-plus years in prison. What's his next step? Is it appeal? Are they trying to get the case thrown out? I mean, what's his next step? Because obviously he's going to keep fighting, and the more that comes out about this, the more noise that's made. And I think with the political climate starting to change a little bit, you look out there and you think, okay, what's next for this guy who may have been railroaded?
Right. Well, I do believe he was railroaded, and the road to exoneration is a long and grueling one. He filed his direct appeal on February 1st, and he has public defenders who filed that 50-page appeal, which anybody can read on the Oklahoma State Court's website. And that was February 1st. Over the summer, the state attorney general was supposed to reply, but there's been a huge wrench that has been thrown into the court machinery, and it should raise the eyebrows of every taxpayer in Oklahoma and anybody who is committed to real justice in the criminal justice system. On June 26th and June 27th of this year, just a couple of weeks ago, there were secret hearings that were held by the trial judge in the case. The state attorney general in May had filed a secret motion under seal, information that was not available to Daniel or his lawyer or to the public. The Court of Criminal Appeals ordered the trial judge to hold these hearings, and only just this week did we learn that transcripts of that hearing, along with an order from the judge, were filed, again, under seal, under complete secrecy, in the dark. We're supposed to just trust that the system did the right thing in this case, when it's clear from the secrecy of these hearings that we're talking about information that could be incredibly damning to the prosecution and to the state and could be the linchpin for Daniel's exoneration. Well, now we've got to wait for the Court of Criminal Appeals to take a look at whatever it is that Judge Henderson determined as a result of these secret hearings. One thing we do know from one of the local reporters that was not snoozing in Oklahoma City is that among those who attended these secret hearings, and this information was gathered as a result of a public information request to obtain the surveillance video of those secret hearings, is that representatives from the Oklahoma County DA's office, the state attorney general's office, as well as a civil attorney for the Oklahoma City of Oklahoma, who handles civil litigation against the city, were all there, as well as a key figure, Campbell Ruddock, who heads the crime lab of the Oklahoma City Police Department. The reason this is significant is it seems to suggest that the so-called smoking gun evidence and all of the junk science that I've been reporting over the past year may be at the heart of those secret hearings, secret motions, and secret orders. The reason why this is of national significance is that there is a crisis in America's crime labs. There has been fabrication of key forensic evidence that has put many, many innocent people behind bars, many, many people on death row, and God knows how many people who have been executed as a result of this kind of forensic corruption. And it's happened in Oklahoma before. Brent Turvey, who is a leading and renowned forensic scientist who used to work and teach in Oklahoma, is now based in Alaska, has his own forensic science lab and company, has weighed in on this. And last week he spoke publicly to the local Fox affiliate in Oklahoma City, comparing what may be going on with these secret hearings to a prior scandal involving a police chemist named Joyce Gilchrist, who was responsible for putting many innocent people behind bars and who had worked for the Oklahoma City Police Department's crime lab.
Follow the bouncing ball, and you never know what you may find. Last question here. We got about 30 seconds. Michelle Malkin from CRTV joins us. You're a woman, and people probably think, well, what are you doing? We've got a serial rapist that we've put behind bars. You should be happy. You shouldn't be championing his freedom. I'm sure you're getting a lot of blowback from that.
I did early on, but I think that the more facts that I've been able to get out about this case, the more people understand that false allegations and false convictions on rape charges hurt everybody. They hurt the falsely accused, and they certainly damage the credibility of women who come forward who have bona fide allegations of rape or sexual assault. And this is a larger public policy problem that I have been covering in my syndicated newspaper columns on my website and for CR and CRTV. You've got this feminist, radical, so-called rape culture that presumes that every man must be guilty any time a woman raises allegations at all. And it has resulted in the complete perversion of the criminal justice system. It is a concern for women who believe in the truth and justice, and particularly mothers like myself of sons who have to enter this social and political climate where these feminists are always playing the victim and leveling these kinds of charges whether or not they're true. It's a disgrace.
Her name is Michelle Malkin. You check her out at CRTV. We're going to be watching this closely, and hopefully there'll be some resolution. And as that goes on, we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate your time very much, Chad.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Very interesting case. And she's right about one thing in society with the way that we look at men and the culture. It can be crazy at times, and this is something, especially if you've got sons, that you have to pay attention to. It's the Chad Benson Show.
call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
You're North Carolina, you're going to be swimming in the next few days up the coast of North and South Carolina. There's a big fish out there. How big a fish? They're not quite sure, but they say it's much bigger than a car, and it looks eerily similar to a great white shark. We have told you this on numerous occasions in life, people. We will continue to tell you this on numerous occasions. When you wander into nature, nature may indeed bleep you up. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just letting you know that nature will bleep you up. Chad Benson Show. It's your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter. You can tweet at us. You can also text the program always, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Say what? Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.